You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The government has outlined its upcoming changes to the law to clarify whether a worker is an employee or a contractor. These changes would restrict contractors from challenging their status in the employment court. This comes following a case brought to the court in 2022, in which four Uber drivers were granted the rights of employees rather than of contractors as they were employed. This allowed the drivers to be entitled to protections such as guaranteed hours, leave, KiwiSaver contributions, and the right to unionise. Uber appealed the decision, but they were dismissed. But now the government wants to adjust the law to prevent this from occurring again. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the ACT Party's Simon Court about this change and some of the concerns that have arisen around it. And we also talked about the gang patch legislation passing into law, including last-minute additions to the bill and how it will be imposed. The government has outlined its upcoming changes to the law to clarify whether a worker is an employee or a contractor. Critics say this change may undermine the rights of workers. What does the ACT Party say to that?
Well, most of the people this affects will be people, say, who are Uber drivers, who are very, very happy to choose their shifts, to choose whether to accept a job or not. They don't want to be held to the same criteria as employees. And, you know, while a union has taken a test case and that they had a decision that said, look, we think all of these workers who work for Uber should be classified as employees, but the employees don't. And what the government is doing is clarifying the law to make sure that Uber drivers who want to continue operating under that model can.
During the consultation to develop this law, Workplace Relations and Safety Minister Brooke Van Velden met with Uber, who had been in court over contract workers wanting employee status. Has she at any point met with Uber drivers themselves or any unions?
Brooke, like many of the ACT MPs, I'm sure regularly catches an Uber. And so I'm sure she's met Uber drivers.
But not in the specific capacity to discuss this law?
Well, one of the things that I do when I'm in a taxi or an Uber, and I'm sure Brooke does as well, is ask the drivers how things are going. You know, what is their experience? You know, what are their customers telling them? So I'm sure Brooke has got plenty of feedback from Uber drivers about what it's like to be a driver.
What about unions?
Well, the point of changing the rules or clarifying the rules about who is a contractor and who is not, is that there was actually quite a bit of uncertainty for contractors and businesses. That's because contractors are able to challenge their employment status in the employment court if they believe they should be classified as employees. Of course, unions would support them to do that. But the Productivity Commission has explained that the courts can actually infer an employment relationship if workers are offered certain benefits and supports that in the past might only have been available to employees. It's actually put workers and employers in a really difficult situation. They might want to offer certain benefits to contractors that their normal employees have. They either do it for goodwill because that's something that's part of a contract, but that doesn't mean that the relationship should be inferred as an employment agreement. So the purpose of the law change was to make it absolutely clear what are the criteria for contractors. Yeah, if you want to be a contractor, you want to freely give your labour, happy to enter into an agreement with an employer to be paid for that, then you should be allowed to and not have a whole lot of other criteria applied to you that your employer and worker don't agree to.
Do you believe that this move may encourage businesses to employ more contractors rather than employees?
No, we don't. What we do think it will do is stop some of the confusion that has crept in because of activist court judgments. Like the recent employment court decision about the Uber drivers attempted to advance an underlying social purpose of the legislation. Well, there's no underlying social purpose written in that legislation. It's very clear what it says, that if you want to be a contractor, you give your labour and your time and your energy freely to your employer and to your employer in exchange for money, then you should be allowed to be a contractor. And so we're just clarifying the law so that, you know, we can get things back on track.
The Coalition's gang legislation banning patches in public has passed into law. A last-minute amendment was added to the bill, giving police broad powers to search people's home in the name of stopping repeat offenders living under the same roof as gang patches or gang insignia. The amendment to the bill was made over a month after the Select Committee process concluded and after submissions had closed on the bill. Why was there such a last-minute change? And is the ACT Party concerned at all about the process that this law has taken?
Well, often there are really important changes identified during the Select Committee process or an advice from officials about things that, if they're not changed, mean that the law won't be as effective as it could be. So I wasn't privy to that discussion, and my specialty area is resource management reform and infrastructure funding and financing, but I understand that that change was important. And we've got to think about the context. I mean, over the past, between 2019 and 2021, for example, the number of patched gang members rose from 5,778 to 6,830. That's over 1,000 additional patched gang members have joined the ranks of these criminal soldiers, all around New Zealand. It's really, really important that the government sends a signal to people who are thinking about shacking up with or consorting with gang members, that if they are involved in criminal offending, if they have an extensive criminal history, that's not acceptable. That we need to send a very clear signal that being part of a gang is not acceptable. The behaviours, particularly, the technical definition of gang members, people who promote, encourage or engage in criminal activity, driven by a desire to create an atmosphere of fear and intimidation, or to make a profit. I mean, that is unacceptable to most New Zealanders, and the law is intended to make that clear, that it's also unacceptable in people's homes if they're committing those kind of activities.
People are concerned that this change regulates free speech or expression in a person's private residence. So how is limiting gang symbols in someone's private home going to effectively lower gang offending?
Well, it's really important that the government sends a strong signal that being part of an organised criminal gang is unacceptable, that we will do everything that we can to disrupt, disturb and take down organised criminal gangs. The organised criminal gangs are made up of individuals, and individuals need to understand they have clear choices to make. If they want to wear their gang patch, if they want to display it, and they are already under an order which prevents them, say, from consorting with other gang members or people who have been convicted of other serious crimes, then the police need all the powers that they can to disperse these people, break up these organisations and stop them from influencing others to commit more crimes for profit, which is exactly what gangs are intended to do.
How is this part of the law going to be enforced? Can police just rock up into the home of a gang member they believe have gang insignia in there and then arrest them? How does it work technically?
Well, I'm not involved in police operation matters, but what I do know is that police are often called to the homes of gang members because of domestic violence, because of other crimes that they've committed, enforcing bail checks, arrest warrants and so on. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunities for police to identify whether gang members are breaching the gang patch bans that have been enforced on them.
As we talk about banning symbols or insignia that promote violence, would the government look at banning other symbols such as Nazi symbols, which has been done in many other countries across the globe?
Well, that has been put to the government. I think there's a huge difference between people collecting memorabilia, which many of us find quite distasteful, and people purposely displaying a gang patch or wearing it in order to create an atmosphere of fear and intimidation. That is the definition of being a gang member, somebody who wants to create fear in others, to intimidate others, and that's why we say the gang patches are unacceptable.
There are individuals that do the same thing with Nazi symbols, swastikas, white supremacist symbols. So would the government look at banning that in public?
Look, I'm not aware of any gangs that use those symbols apart from the mongrel mob, who seem to have a very strong affiliation with Nazi symbols, swastikas, and who are regularly filmed and recorded saying Sieg Heil to each other. So, you know, I think it's quite clear that organised criminal gangs are people who want to create an atmosphere of fear and intimidation, who want to wear obvious and gang insignia for that purpose. This law is designed to take that away from them.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Kaur on restricting contractors from challenging their employment status and the ban on gang patches passing into law.
That was Simon Kaur from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.